If you turn in your Bibles now, we're going to turn again to 1 John. And we're going to read 1 John. We're going to start in verse 7 and read to the end of the chapter. So 1 John chapter 4, from verse 7 to the end of the chapter. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. So we have come to know and to believe the love that God has for us. God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this is love perfected with us, so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he is a liar. For he who does not love his brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. And this commandment we have from God, from him. Whoever loves God must also love his brother. So let me begin off by asking a question. Where do you belong? As humans, we have this need to know that we belong. We are not independent, as some might think. Some of us want to think that way, but we need to belong somewhere, and we need that sense of belonging. And you have that depiction of in school. There's always these different groups. There's the athletes, and then there's the rebellious people, or there's the rich kids and the punk kids and the smart ones and the nerds. Well, as young people, you can be pressured, and as old people, you can be pressured to belong to different groups. And these different groups can lead us away from the church. These pressures from the world want to make us fit in to these certain groups, and they can do that by different ways. There's these pressures to belong by just wearing the right clothes or watching the right shows or playing the right games. Or maybe more obvious things like drinking or smoking drugs or something like that. These things create categories dividing people into different groups. And especially young people can be pressured with these groups. And by resisting these, they can leave them wondering, where do I belong? They can leave you wondering, where do you belong? Maybe you have this at work as well. Well, this is what John is talking about here. He's assuring us that we belong to Christ. You don't belong to the group at school that all plays the same game or goes out on the weekends to drink. As we sit here this evening, God speaks to us and says, you belong to me. You belong here with the body of believers, the body of Christ, the church. And you can be assured that you belong here because of three things. First, you have the Spirit. And second, because you confess Jesus. And third, where we will spend most of our time, because of God's love. So first of all, John says, you can be assured that you belong here because you have the Spirit. And we are talking about in this context of a church split. First John was written to the church after most likely a large split where people left the church. And these people that left the church were bringing false doctrines about who Jesus was. Well, some have left the church, and now John is writing to those who have remained in the church. And he says, you can be confident that you're in the right place. Verse 13, this you know, you can be confident because we abide in him and he in us. You're in the right place because you are abiding in God and God in you. And how do you know that you abide in him and he in you? Because at the end of verse 13, it says God has given us of his spirit. So we can have confidence that we are in the right place, that we are members of God because we are indwelled with the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' ministry, he promised, if you keep my commandments, I will ask my Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. Jesus promised that he would send the Spirit. And it's through the Spirit that Christ abides in us. That language of abiding in one another, John can't describe any closer relationship. John 15, Jesus says, abide in me and I in you. And he gives the vine and the branch illustration. You see, Jesus calls himself the vine and us the branches. Have you ever tried to decipher where the vine ends and the branch begins? Well, they're really just intertwined and they verge into one another. Those John is talking to, they're unsure of their standing with God. So John reminds them where they belong. He says, you belong to the vine. You belong to the vine so much that you are a branch on the vine. John is saying, you abide in Christ and Christ abides in you. You have the Spirit. You are united to Christ as a vine and a branch. Are you united together or abiding in one another as the branch abides in the vine? And how do we know we have the Spirit? John says, you know you have the Spirit because we confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Without the Spirit, you are unable to confess Jesus as Lord and Savior. So secondly, John says, you can be assured that you're a member of Christ because you confess Jesus. Verse 14 says, how we are to confess this. It says, and we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. We confess it because we believe what the apostles have testified to. Just as John is speaking to these people, writing this letter to these people that they're unsure how to believe. And John is saying, believe what we, the apostles, have testified to. This we that John is saying is the apostolic we. John is speaking as an apostle and saying, this is what we, John is apostle, as we have seen about Jesus and testified to you what we have seen. See, the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. And John is telling them this. John is telling us this. In the beginning of chapter 4, we have how to test the spirits if they are from God. And the answer is that you know the Spirit of God because every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. See, these people that left the church deny Jesus in the flesh. So these people are suffering from this church split. They don't know if they should be where they are. And John is writing to them and saying, you're in the right place because you confess Jesus as God, as Jesus, as a full human being in the flesh and God, where the people that left were not confessing that. So John is saying, you have the Spirit of God in you because you confess this. So be assured you are in the body of Christ, that you are a branch on the vine. But also be assured because you are able to confess Jesus as the Savior of the world, verse 15, that Jesus is God. So be assured you are united to Christ. It's only through the Spirit that we are able to confess this, that God is light in himself, is no darkness, no sin. But we have darkness in us. We are separated from God. We need that light. And it's through the blood of Jesus Christ that we are cleansed from all sin. And if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. You see, John's readers are trying to find where they belong. And John is saying, you belong here. Don't look to the world around you. The world doesn't confess this about Jesus. But you do. You belong to me. You belong together. And this is one of those memberships that you want to be a part of because, well, this membership is a matter of life and death. There's no other membership that is more important than this membership right here. If you confess that Jesus is the Savior of the world, that he's your Savior, that the world needs saving. You confess that the world needs saving. That Jesus is the one who offers that salvation freely through his blood. Then you are abiding in Christ and he in you. And this is what John is pointing out in the face of their uncertainty. He's saying, you have this already. Take a hold of it and be confident. And God is saying this to us now. Be assured you are in the right place, that you belong here. You're tempted to belong to a group in the world, maybe, that is tempting you, giving you things that they think that is required to belong. But they offer things that are just empty. There are groups that can offer you temporary happiness, maybe, but they cannot offer you joy, true joy. They can offer you fun things to do. They can offer to get your heart rate up, get you excited about things, but they cannot offer you complete comfort. These kind of groups do not give. They only take. They offer joy, but that's always what they do. They just offer and they don't give. If you just do this, if you give in here, then you'll belong and you'll be happy. They just ask for more and more and more. You never get that sense of acceptance, of belonging that Christ gives. It's like a drug. A drug offers you the feeling of angels' wings, being touched by angels' wings, but it never gives you that again, never gives it to you. It always asks for more and more and more. No other place offers the comfort that Christ offers. No other membership, no other group or social gathering can give you what abiding in the body of Christ can give you. See, our catechism asks this question: what is your only comfort in life and death? Lord's Day 1 says that I'm not my own, but belong with body and soul, both in life and death, to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for all of my sins with his precious blood. He has set me free from the power of the devil. He also preserves me in such a way, without the will of my Father in heaven, not a hair can fall from my head. Indeed, all things must work together for my salvation. Therefore, by his Holy Spirit, he assures me of eternal life and makes me heartily willing and ready from now on to live for him. You see, we are the branches, and we receive life from the vine. Belonging to Christ, we have life even after death. That is who I want to belong to. The one who loves us, the one who assures me of something concrete, life after death. There is more that he gives us. He is the God of love, as we looked at this morning. Verse 16 says it again, God is love. All that the apostles testify to, all that the scriptures reveal, that everything God does is in love. All that the apostles have given us, we can see who Jesus Christ is. We are assured of belonging because we confess Jesus as our Savior. And this confession is that God is love. He saved us purely because he loved us. So be assured that you belong because you have the Spirit within you. Because you confess Jesus, and now be assured because this all comes down to love. This takes us to the other half of the passage. Perfected in love, in God's love. Verse 17, by this is love perfected in us. So love is perfected in us because we have the Spirit in us and we confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We confess that God gave us salvation because he first loved us. We confess that God is love. And hear this, it is the love of God that assures us. It's the love of God that sent his only Son to die for our sins. So what does love perfected with us mean? Well, it has to do with our assurance on the day of judgment here in this passage, in this verse. Love is perfected with us so that we may have confidence for the day of judgment. This is speaking of God's love. John says, we know we have the Spirit because we confess Jesus as our Lord. In that confession, we are pointing out that God is love. That story of our salvation is a God of love, condescending to us, coming down to us and giving us life when we were dead. We confess God's love. Our assurance really comes down to God's love. Now, I hope you get this. We are assured that we are united to Christ because we have the Spirit, right? We have the Spirit dwelling in us. But we have the Spirit indwelling us because God's love stood in the seat of judgment that we deserve, taking away our sin. But more than that, Jesus put his righteous life on us. So with our sin paid for and clothed in Christ's righteousness, we can be indwelled by the Holy God through his Spirit. So all of our assurance really comes down to nothing we do, but what Christ has done. You see, God gives us secondary assurances through his Spirit, through our confession. But these are secondary assurances. Christ's love that gave us His Spirit, and Christ's love that gave us a confession, or just secondary? The primary assurance is that we have Christ's love. That is why in verse 17 we have confidence on the day of judgment. It's nothing you or I do. The confidence comes from the branch abiding in the vine. And what does the branch do? What does a branch do on a tree? Well, a branch just feeds off the tree, feeds off the vine, takes nutrients and life. And that's an amazing place to belong for us. Christ abides in us and we in Him, and this gives us the benefits of receiving life from the vine, from Christ Himself. Well, if you're like me, you read this and you think of yourself, you forget that you're reading this in the context where we're sitting right now. If you were one of the recipients of this letter written by John, you'd be sitting in the church just like we are right now, with the people of God all around you. John is addressing the church, and the assurance is communal. You belong together. You belong to the body of Christ because you are the branches. John is speaking to the church and saying, you belong right here where you are. And that is what God is saying right now to you and me. You belong here, where the Spirit dwells in us, where we confess Jesus as God. Jesus' love has been poured on us through Jesus Christ. You belong here. The branch belongs on the vine. The church belongs to her master, Christ. This is love perfected because it's God's love. And He says that you can have confidence on the day of judgment because of the end of verse 17. Because as He is, so also are you in this world. So Jesus is the Son of God, united to the Father. John is saying this is true of you now too. We have been made sons and daughters of God right now. 1 John 3 tells us we are God's children. Galatians says you are all sons. You're all daughters of God. You're Abraham's offspring. These are present realities. Well, a present reality. We have been made children of God, and through His love poured on us through Jesus Christ, we reap the benefits. Well, verse 18, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, for fear has to do with punishment. Whoever fears has not been perfected in love. It is God's love that assures us, right? So, of course, we don't have to fear punishment. Approaching God in love and hiding in fear would be impossible. How can you fear God in deserving punishment and also love God because He has paid the punishment that we deserve? He has done everything to keep us from that punishment. It's not as though anything I have done can obstruct God's perfect love. What Jesus accomplished on the cross for us can overcome anything that you have done. You may be sitting here now thinking that, well, you may be telling yourself right now, I don't belong here. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard that, inviting people to church. Well, I don't belong there. I'm not that type of person. I'm not good. I've done plenty of things that, I can't go into church. The mentality behind that is that church is for good people. But brother and sister, you belong here, not because you're a good person. You belong here because you have Christ's blood on you. He has covered your sin. You're a terrible person on your own. But Christ has assured you, He has made you His own, and you have the confidence that you can be here because of Him, not because of you. You see, the world has places it thinks you belong. As you go to work or as you go to school, there is pressure to turn away from the church, to turn to what it thinks is best for you. The church doesn't compete with these groups, though. You follow Christ or you follow the world. John is saying, belong to Christ. Be assured that you do. And this is better than belonging to any special group of friends that are trying to lead you away from the church. Any group that offers you material things. Followers of Christ are united on a whole different level. Where else in the world is there a group gathered together like we are right now as the church? Just a bunch of really random people. You think of a grocery line in the store, it could be just as random as us sitting here. But would you ask someone, person in front of you in the grocery line, would you ask them to help you move a relative of yours? But that's exactly what we can do in the church, because we've been united together because of Christ. We share that common bond. We were made members of God's family, uniting us together. And that's the way we describe it. We are united to Christ. We are branches of his vine, which makes us family. Verse 19 then turns practical. It says, we love because he first loved us. We do not fear, rather we love. And we love because God first loved us. This is a statement of a matter of fact. John is saying, Christians love. That is what we do. And we sit here this evening, we love one another. We are a bunch of, well really, we're a bunch of misfits. If I look at myself, I'm definitely a misfit. But we depend on Christ. That's who we depend on. Confidence comes because of how Christ acted on our behalf and how he, well, it comes on how you act as a result of the Spirit working in you. We love because God has first loved us. Think of God loving you and loving me. John says here that it is a contradiction for someone to say that they love God and then hate their brother. The logic is really simple. It's easier to love someone that you have seen as opposed to someone that you haven't seen. As you look around this afternoon, this evening, you see all these people. For me, people that I really don't know. We're all people that are sinners in need of saving. We've done things that we regret against God. We've done things we regret against each other. But God loves us. God loves us still. I think of this past week and the things that I have done, the thoughts that have gone through my head. And God loves me. Brother and sister, God loves you no matter what you have done. As we look at each other, this is how we are to love one another. We are in the same boat. We are actually brothers and sisters in Christ. We love one another because belonging to Christ is not exclusive. Rather, it is an inclusive that makes Christ's love all the more amazing. And doesn't that make you just look around at one another and love each other? It's like seeing a little child running down the road, and as they fall, they scrape their hands on the asphalt. You can see the gravel going into their hands. And I've been there. I can just feel that pain going through their hands. Well, in the body of Christ, we have that similar experience. Except, unlike falling in pain, it is being picked up, being cleansed by Jesus, and covered in his righteousness. We have all been picked up from our broken lives, from our sinful pasts. We've all been picked up by Christ. And that is after being broken. We're all sitting in the same place. We're all sinners that have been fixed by Christ. Many people at work and school want to offer you the benefit of belonging. But at what cost is that belonging? Does it come at the cost of confessing Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Maybe this is the case at your work or just with the people that you hang out with, your friends. There are cliques, there are social groups that some are in and some are out. This is not the case with Jesus Christ. Abiding in him is the only way to live. You see, abiding with Christ is a bit of exclusive club. But the exclusion is excluding yourself. You love Christ and that makes you inclusive, and anybody can do that. It's the type of membership that everyone should want to be in. That is what we are sitting in here this evening. We are a part of the Church of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is where God dwells with his people now. Do we act like this is the place to be? Do we realize what we have here? We have the words of life. We have confidence that we can stand before Jesus at the day of judgment. But we can stand there and live. As we sit here, it's awesome because it's not one of those clubs that you're excluded from. It's not only the elite, only the ones that can reach that certain level, that get the certain amount of miles on the airplanes and their rentals or whatever. There's no one we meet that is unable to enter heaven. Jesus' life, death, resurrection, he blew the doors off all the entry so that anyone can come in. That is where we stand. We are included with Christ. We proclaim the name of Jesus to all so that they might also come in to abide with Christ. to confess Jesus as their Savior. Let's pray. Father in heaven, the Lord, we confess that we are weak, that on our own we will stray from you. But Lord, we give you praise that we are not left on our own, that you have given us your Spirit to work in us and to draw us to yourself time and time and time again. And Lord, may that be the case this week. As we're reminded that we rest in you, Lord, may give us strength to go out this week and to proclaim your name, to proclaim the greatness of what we have here, to proclaim that we are members of Christ and we have eternal life promised to us. And Lord, may we be lights to the gospel, lights to what you have done in this world. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. For our song of response, let's stand and sing number 265, In Christ Alone. Now take our offering, which will be for the general fund.
Thank you.
Following the benediction, we'll sing number 563. God sends us off with these words from number 6. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.